We'll go audio in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the comfortable studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this Rain Report. Are you involved with a VHF or UHF net that meets the same time, the same day every week, and has the same predictable format of check-ins, hamfest calendar, and, if you're still awake, maybe some club news or an unreasonable facsimile thereof? What about ham radio programming, for example, these rain reports? No, this isn't a blatant pitch to make the rain report a weekly feature on that humdrum net. This is a call to action to make VHF, UHF informational nets more interesting. We're going to operate under the assumption that a few of you are sick and real tired of the same old stuff every net night. Okay, so you want to run some audio content like the Rain Report, Amateur Radio Newsline? Yes, it's still live. Simple, you say. Just hold your handheld microphone up to your speaker while you play back a 10 or a 15 minute worth of unintelligible audio. Hoping your rig doesn't puke in the middle of it all. If you're going to provide a service to your net listeners, then do it right. One guy who does it right is Mark Clarkson, WA9IVH, net director for Chicago's North Shore Radio Club, NS9RC440 repeater. Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, got the audio skinny from Mark via Skype as to how to transmit quality audio through your VHF, UHF radio.
What propelled you to become familiar with interfacing audio with your ham radio?
Well, Hap, like a lot of things we do in life and in ham radio, necessity. I found there was an opening for a net control station, and I wanted to try what was then a new thing. I wanted to try to stream your rain report out over the air and get maximum quality on it rather than doing what people were doing at the time, and that is recording it from a phone-in line.
Or holding a microphone up to a speaker.
Yeah, that would be even worse, yes. I discovered through the School of Hard Knocks that there's really four issues to be concerned about if you intend to play recorded audio from a computer out on a ham radio. First, of course, you've got to be sure you're within range of a repeater if that's what you're using, but it's the heat issue. You're going to be using the radio for a 15 or 12 minute time, whatever it is, and our ham gear is rated for intermittent use, so you have to be very concerned and aware of heat. Secondly, your audio levels. Third, any possibility of hum. And then the fourth area is really the proof of the pudding, the nitty-gritty. It's the microphone switching, PTT keying, and ease of interface. And the type of interface I've used has changed a lot over time.
Now, when you talk about the heat issue, there are few radios today that can handle long key-down periods that, let's say, the rain report requires, which can be 15, 18 minutes in length. In fact, some radios will just flat out die on you if you try to do that in high power. One obvious way around that, of course, is to install some sort of a fan. What kind of fan should you use and how should it be placed?
Well, Hap, you're exactly right. Heat is the enemy of electronics, and so the first thing you have to do is drop your power. So you need to be able to put a full quieting signal into your repeater while you're running at low or mid-low power. I use one up from the bottom. But that still would generate a lot of heat and likely burn out the radio in 10 or 15 minutes. So the fan that I use is actually two fans blowing from the back. One is one of the muffin-type fans that you get at Dayton. And I actually take two of these, put them in series, and have one on the power supply blowing right on the heat sink, and one at the back of the radio. But I also take one of the very common, inexpensive 110-volt fans that you'd use in the kitchen in the summer or wherever around the house, and I have that blowing right on the back of the radio. By the way, the radio is a mobile radio. I would never consider using an HT for anything where you would transmit for an extended period of time. The HT just is not built to dissipate that kind of heat.
Okay, so you're actually talking about the use of three fans on your radio. The only radio I've experienced that can handle the long key down and not be hot enough to cook an egg on top of it is an Elenco DR-235, which is a 220 radio by Elenco. They put out a 2-meter 220 and 440 radio, as I recall, in that series. That's what I use here when I run Rain Audio on a local 220 net here in Chicago. I don't have a fan on it. I probably should. But when it's all said and done and finished, it's hot, but not cooking. That's a rarity, though. You take these smaller radios and you try to key that down on high power, of course, which you're probably better off, like you say, with going with medium power. You try to do that for 10 or 15 minutes, you will run into problems. The radio will probably say, uh-uh, no more, and it will die right in the middle of it all. Another one that works well is the TMV-71 Kenwood for 2 meters and 440. That does have a fan in the back of it for good reason.
It's just good prudence to not fuel the economy by buying more and more radios as they burn out through heat.
Now let's talk about audio. Audio is obviously the key once you've got the heat under control. Now we need to find a way to get some good audio and not embarrass yourself or anybody else by not having good audio.
Well, Hap, a lot of radios have what's called a line level input, or sometimes called a TNC input. And I've done some interfaces like that, and it can work well, but I believe that there's some shaping of the waveform to accommodate packet response. And I found actually better results by going through the mic input, usually on the front of the radio. That seems to work best and introduce the littlest amount of distortion. So what that means is that the computer audio levels need to be reduced to mic level to be fully compatible. Now, there's a real issue there. Many people try to reduce the audio level coming out of their computers by using the audio slider controls on the computers. And these typically don't go far enough. And as you reduce the signal, you could introduce hum as that desired audio level signal continues to drop. So it's better to come out of the computer at normal computer level and then pad the audio down. And that level difference is significant. You need to come down something like 14 decibels, which is a huge amount because decibels are logarithmic. So the computer sliders can't do it. The audio pad that I use is a very simple device. It uses two resistors in series with the audio lead, put a 4.7K resistor, and across the line, from the line to ground, put a 470-ohm resistor, and then adjust from there through on-air testing. But that's what you need to bring that computer audio down in level, down to match mic level.
What you're building is an attenuator. Now, it's interesting that the two radios that you built little attenuators for here in my shack, the aforementioned Elenco and Kenwood, are actually through the TNC jack on the back of the radio, not through the mic jack.
Well, you were part of the learning curve, Hap.
So we have presumably found a way to attenuate the audio. Do I need to tailor it to the radios that we're transmitting with?
Well, Hap, in terms of audio EQ, I've never done anything on that, and I think you and other radio producers do a lot of the EQing, so I think it's more important not to introduce hum or distortion in the signal I'm getting from the wave or MP3 file from the computer than it is for me to try to do any additional waveform shaping on it.
You're listening to the do's and don'ts of transmitting ham radio programming through your VHF-UHF radio from Mark Clarkson, WA9IVH, Net Director for the NS9RC North Shore Radio Club repeaters on Chicago's North Shore. We'll conclude this mini-tutorial between Mark and Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available for transmission over amateur radio from therainreport.com on the web, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
You mentioned hum. How do we deal with hum?
Well, Hap, about hum, I have to, full disclosure, be honest here. I have not implemented any corrections because I haven't come across the problem. However, a lot of reading that I've done recommends a one-to-one audio transformer to eliminate ground loops and reduce hum, but I have not seen the need for it actually on the interfaces that I've built. If you wanted to, certainly a one-to-one audio interstage transformer would be a simple way to do that.
But my suggestion, as I suspect yours, would be to take the simple route that you've talked about first and don't borrow trouble.
Well, I'm a strong believer if it works, don't fix it school of thought, but it's probably not the proper engineering way to do it. If you look at the commercial interfaces, which I'm sure could be easily adapted to this audio problem, things like the Rig Blasters and others, they have opto-isolators in there to accomplish this in a professional manner.
One of the problems of running audio into your ham radio is that you need to find a way to be able to switch from that audio to your mic, especially if you're doubling the net control and you have to use your mic to take check-ins and to maybe if you have survey questions, like I like to do. But then you have to be able to easily reach over and flip a switch, cut the microphone off, and enable the audio from the computer. Talk a little bit about a good way to do that.
Well, through trial and error, I think I've come up with a very good way to do that. There's the need to switch between mic and computer audio quickly as possible, but there's more than that. There's actually three tasks that need to be accomplished. One is mic switching. Two is PTT keying. When you're talking, you push the PTT button in on your mic, but when the computer audio is playing, you want that PTT keyed in and locked down so you're not having to manually key the radio during that 10 or 15 minute period of time. So it's mic switching, PTT keying, and then the level reducing that we already mentioned for the computer audio. So what I found, and here it comes, one of these inexpensive AB computer switch boxes. And I've used many different kinds over the years. See, they're small and metal, very good for shielding. They already switch all the lines necessary. And my latest innovation was one of those, oh, I wish I'd done this 5 years ago, and that is these RJ45 switch boxes. In other words, the common computer cable interfaces that in many cases our microphones already have that same connector on them. So if you think about that, the mic could go in the A side, and then the common could go with a jumper cable, a patch cable, plugged right into your radio, and you've got one side of that interface completed before you've even had to do any work. So these are readily available at HamFest, also, of course, on the web. Actually, I finally broke down after doing many of these, and I bought a crimp tool so that I could make my own connectors. But what I've done is just buy complete patch cables that have connectors on each end complete and just cut them in half. So I've got the pre-molded end ready to plug in, and then the other end is open for me to do whatever connecting and soldering I need to do.
Mark, you've tried to put the frosting on the cake, but we really haven't talked about the cake itself.
Okay, here we go with the cake. I did talk about mic switching, and that's out of the box good just with that straight through cable. Make sure you do not use, as your common going to the radio, don't use a crossover cable. It's got to be a straight through wired, and you can confirm this just by looking at both pins under a magnifying glass. So that's easy to do. Now the PTT keying, you're going to put your mic into the A input of the switch box. The PTT keying and the audio input is done on the B side. For that, what you have to do is open up that cable, figure out which is the ground and which is the PTT line, and just solder those two lines together. So then you've got your PTT. And then the third part of that is the level reduction. And I already talked about the pad. It's an L pad, actually. That has to be constructed and built. Now, what I've done many times is to build these inside the boxes, and I finally went, duh, I don't need to modify the box and do the metal work or whatever, or figure out what pin is connected to what line inside the box. I can take the unmodified box and just build these interfaces, the resistors and the shorting of the PTT, build it into the cable itself and put some shrink wrap around the resistors, and then have a much neater and simpler installation and not modify the box at all. And I know most hams hate to do it. You're probably going to have to get the manual out to figure out which pin is your audio that you have to connect the far side of the pad to. You're going to have to figure out which is your PTT line so you can short that to the ground, and you have to know which line is your ground line. But in my case, I soldered all of those lines to the proper pins and then put some tape and shrink wrap around that cable, and it actually makes a pretty simple and neat and clean interface, which also leaves the box free to use on some other project or another radio as needed down the road.
A little tangent to this whole discussion about audio interfacing. If you're going to interface your computer, and by the way, I use the headphone output of my computer to go into the interface, you want to be sure that, if at all possible, to turn the timer off on the repeater. I have heard too many repeaters who have a 2-minute timer, and that can drive the person who is running audio from Newsline, Rain Report, ARRL, News, what have you, out of their minds, because then they have to keep track and time how long they can stay keyed down before the timer is going to time out. My thought is, if you can't turn the timer off, then maybe you shouldn't be running the audio in the first place.
Well, I'd agree with that, Hap. You want the ultimate experience to be good for the listener, and it's not good if the system is either shutting down or the net control is distracted, having to reset the timer or enter codes. There's just two other quick thoughts I have, and one is you ought to do a little bit of on-air testing and practicing to determine how well the system's working and make sure that you're actually in the sweet spot of your audio slider on the computer, so have that set as you normally do for whatever else you do with audio on the computer. In other words, have it be in a normal operating range. And then when you're on the air, if you can, and I'm lucky enough from where I live, I can, listen to the repeater output on another radio. I do it on my HT. When I'm on the air running recorded audio, I want to make sure that it's actually all working and sounding good by monitoring off air.
So many times there's a problem. The station is just no longer getting in to the repeater as well as he or she normally does. And you might run a whole 10-minute segment of Newsline and find out that nobody can understand it or nobody can hear it. So it's awfully important to be able to self-monitor. First of all, to check and be sure the levels are okay beforehand, and then B, to monitor while you're transmitting, so that you know that it's coming out as you want it to and as your listeners want it to as well.
I know we're on a radio medium here, and maybe some of the things that I've said might not be completely clear. I'd certainly be happy if anybody wanted to send me an email, my call sign, WA9IVH@ARRL.net. We could get together, maybe talk on the phone or whatever, so you can benefit from some of the experiences I've had if you need any help.
And that's a wrap on the do's and don'ts of transmitting quality audio through your VHF-UHF radio, thanks to Mark Kloxon, WA9IVH, Net Director for the North Shore Radio Club, NS9RC 440 Repeater on Chicago's North Shore. If you're in the Chicago area, check out the N9RC Thursday Night Net at 8 on 442-725 and listen to some of Mark's handiwork. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2016 Rain. All rights reserved. Now from the mosquito-infested North Woods of Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, therainreport.com on the web, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and via iTunes.